The date is June 19th, 2009, and we are watching Year One. Welcome to I Used to Hate This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Hate This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we loathed when we were younger, and we are giving these movies a second chance. My name is Sean Wells, and with me on this journey, because I can't do it alone, is the Z to my O.
Hello, I'm Aaron Knowles.
Nice. Yes, our summer continues where we're doing our June of Hate. There's got to be a catchier title out there, but you know, this dumpster fire of hatred that we have for these movies.
The shitstorm summer.
The shitstorm summer. I like that. That's a good one. That one's catchy. I'm sure we would get flagged on something like Instagram or that's what we'll call it. That's the DL term.
Yeah.
Well, this week we are looking back at June 2009, the most recent to date movie we've had on the show yet. When the movies in theaters were Paper Man. there are more popular movies than Paper Man, but I bring up Paper Man because The Proposal was also in theaters. Ryan Reynolds' heavy theater summer.
Ooh,
yeah. Land of the Lost, The Hangover, and of course our movie for today, Teen Choice Award nominee for best summer film, Year One, which earned $62.35 million on a $60 million budget. It just made it. Just made it. Another note on Ryan Reynolds. Congrats, Wrexham, by the way. But in 2009, he was also in Adventureland, which came out on April 3rd, and X-Men Origins Wolverine, which came out May 1st. Unfortunately, he was in that one. And, but, like, Wolverine was potentially still in theaters, if I really think about it. Like,
it probably was.
It could have been on that list. I just don't usually go that far back when I do the also in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, what a... The Proposal is actually a funny movie. I really...
It
Betty
is.
White.
Betty White. Betty White. Fucking Betty White. Yeah. National treasure.
No.
Pour one out for Betty White.
Poor. She almost made it to 100.
Almost. So close.
But what a summer. I mean, except for this... How...
The Hangover.
The Hangover. I was going to say, that's like... There are several movies there that I was...
Yeah,
Land of the Lost is a guilty pleasure.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
it's a guilty pleasure. I
wasn't a fan.
I was a fan of it when I was a kid. Like, I was such a huge fan of that show when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is going to be great. And then, you know, Will Ferrell was still riding high on his Ricky Bobby, you know, fame. And Land of the Lost, I don't know if this was like a fun, you know, I don't know if this was like a river cruise for like Dwayne The Rock Johnson for Will Ferrell.
The backside of water.
Yeah, this... Wow, this movie. Like, anyways, I think right now I'm probably like, what? There's some like psychological term right now where I'm just trying to do avoidance. Maybe I'm trying to do everything I can to not talk about Year One because I absolutely hated this movie. I went and saw it when it was in theaters, and to this day, it is the only movie I have ever walked out on.
Wow, that's outstanding. So 2009, what? That puts you at what age?
2009. Jesus. I was, my God, hold on. I was 18 in 2003, so add 6 years, I was 24. There we go.
Yeah.
Math is hard, people. Okay. I'm sorry for that.
Well, okay. Well, yeah, you should have just, like, gone to The Proposal instead, apparently.
Probably, if I had a girlfriend at the time or something like that. But anyways, spoilers alert. So much like your annoying child from a previous marriage, this movie is 14 years old. Not saying you, not your child, but like anybody's annoying
the
child.
The hypothetical
from a
child.
Yeah, the hypothetical child. Yeah. 14 years old, man. Whew. Let's talk taglines.
Well, I've got two. Okay, the first one, not very exciting. This June, Evolution begins. Wow, wow.
Meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
And the
they
second
didn't try
one.
Too hard.
No, they really didn't. The second one that doesn't try much harder, Meet Your Ancestors.
Oh, man. there's so much I could say about this movie, and that just right there, their taglines alone will it speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Volumes about this.
Yeah. Well, let's find out what it's about, and we'll go to Aaron and do a 60-second synopsis.
Thank you. Here we go. 60, if I could talk correctly. Here
I like the S's. Seconds. I don't know what it is. We've got the Super Summer Spectacular and, you know, all these different S's. Yeah.
Our 60-second synopsis for Year One. Okay, so Year One was the movie that you did know existed, but you probably saw it and thought, damn, another History of the World movie? But no, it isn't, and thank God for that. Year One is the bastard child of a great cast and a terrible idea. It starts off with a hunting party of cavemen and jumps right along into biblical Garden of Eden with forbidden fruits, snakes, and Michael Cera being his usual passive-aggressive self. The movie weaves in and out of biblical stories with enough plot holes to fill a Dunkin' Donut. Without the pleasure of the coffee, of course. Or the shits afterwards.
Oh, and Tim Hortons for the Canadian listeners.
Tim Hortons for the Canadians, yes. Okay, sorry, back to the plot. Michael Cera and Jack Black play two forgettable characters that are exiled from their caveman tribe and the Garden of Eden to start an adventure that takes them to meet Cain and Abel, the Jews in the desert, and finally Sodom and Gomorrah, all the while never even having a nip slip. Boo. So Jack Black stars as Jack Black, and Michael Cera is still Michael Cera in a movie about these two just walking around more than the Fellowship of the Ring and with way less being accomplished.
Nice. So
I had fun writing that one.
that was a good one. That goes as a top one that I've ever heard. Okay. So Year One is one of these movies that for me I watched it and I don't really remember it, and somehow I own it. I don't know how I own it. It might have been one of those inherited DVDs that I have. Yeah, it's in a Blockbuster previously viewed case. So it was bought back in 2009 when Blockbuster still existed. So it's possible that maybe I picked it up as a $2.99 one because it's cheaper than a rental. But I don't know if I've ever watched it all the way through. Some of it seems familiar. Maybe it was a Netflix and chill movie for me. You know, I never saw all of it. So now I have. And that's my anecdote about Year One.
Yeah, I'm the same
Aaron,
way.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. Like,
you say you walked out, yeah.
Yeah.
You paid money for this.
I paid.
I may not have. But
so, you know, if I go back into my brain and I dig through some of the very messed up drawers of stuff that I've tried to forget, in my mind, I recollect slightly that I might have tried to take, like, my family or somebody with me.
Okay.
And I think I had to convince them that I was ready to leave. And I had to talk them into just like, you know what, like you could stay and watch it or I'm going to go. Maybe I'll go try and find another movie to watch, something. But I know that, and that's the funny thing, is like thinking about this movie. So
sneak into The Hangover.
Yeah.
Like
I am pretty sure, like, so I always thought that I only watched about 10 minutes of this film. Apparently I watched about 35 to 40 minutes of this film and then walked out. So like I blocked out a good majority of this film.
You still suppressed it somehow.
I still suppressed it. So,
wow.
Yeah, again, I realized when I watched it that I had seen a lot more of it than I'm so upset by it. But like I know why I went and saw it. I know why I wanted to.
100%.
You know, Harold Ramis as a director.
Yeah.
You know, just
yeah. Okay, well, let's jump into Year One, directed by Harold Ramis, his last directing credit, and also his last acting role, because he was Adam. I don't even remember Adam, and I watched this movie. But, I mean, it's always sad when something like this is your last role. It's like Chris Farley in Almost Heroes, or John Candy in Wagons East, you know? Not every last movie can be a Dark Knight, or John Wick 4 for Lance Reddick, you know, like produced by Judd Apatow, Clayton Townshend, I mean, Judd Apatow, fuck, and written by Harold Ramis, Gene Stupnitsky, and Lee Eisenberg, both of them from The Office. Those are big names in comedy. Yeah. Those three, that's a powerhouse thing. Like, and so this movie opens and you're watching the credits and you're seeing all these names come up, and including all these directors and producers, and you're like, here we go. It's fucking on. We've got a movie. We're ready to go.
I gotta say this. So, you mentioned the credits.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but did these credits not look like somebody made them in, like, Microsoft Word?
Oh, yes. 100%.
Like, the font is, like, the cheapest piece of crap I've ever... Like,
You could still see the cursor down in the corner.
Yeah. It's like spinning because it's slow. But, like, I took notes, and that was my first note on was, why did the opening credits look like they were made in Microsoft Word?
Oh, you just went in with hate, though.
Yeah, I really did. I did not go in expecting anything good. But I did message you, and I was like, as I was watching it, I was like, oh, shit, I just LOL'd. You know? I did, like, I laughed at... There's a scene where it's one of the... So the hunting party gets back from Jack Black's character, like, screwing up getting the boar.
Yeah.
Which, again, another plot hole, because apparently they still caught a boar.
Yeah.
But the big mean guy, whatever his name is, Marlak, okay? Like, so you got Michael Cera, who's, like, gathering, like, berries and shit, and Marlak just slaps the plate out of his hand, and he goes, guess we're not having berries in our fruit salad. Now everyone has to suffer. And he's like,
That was the point in my notes that I wrote down. Oh, so Michael Cera is playing Michael Cera.
Exactly.
And then Jack Black comes up to him and starts talking to him. And I'm like, and Jack Black's playing Jack Black. Okay, well, let's talk about this. Because I talk about the credits and the names that I'm seeing. So, I mean, let's talk about, like, how high the expectations are as we go down this cast list.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Like, you got Jack Black, Michael Cera, Oliver Platt.
Yeah.
Oliver Platt, for crying out loud. He's currently in one of my favorite shows, which is Chicago Med.
Yeah.
And he plays, like, this really just, like...
Eccentric, isn't he?
No, he's just a really nice guy. He's one of my most favorite characters.
Oh, okay.
And to see him, like, that was one of the things I blocked out, was, I think, because that was actually... There's a moment in this movie where Michael Cera is rubbing hot oil on Oliver
hairy
Platt's
chest.
Like,
yeah.
Like, obviously, hopefully, fake hairy chest.
Oh, God, and I,
like,
hope so.
I'm like
90%
sure.
Take off your sweater,
sure.
Sir.
Yeah, that's when I walked out of the theater. I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
I know where this could be going.
Yeah. Yeah, David Cross. I mean, like.
As Kane. Yeah, I mean, okay, so have you looked into the IMDb trivia?
Not yet.
The IMDb trivia is, like, maybe 10 items long. And it's, like, the worst trivia ever. And one of them is David Cross and Michael Cera appeared together in Arrested Development. It's like, why are people liking this comment?
Yeah.
Fuck, who fucking cares? You maniacs. Yeah, and then, I mean, you've got David Cross, and then you have, like, Paul Rudd, who is smart to go uncredited in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
As Abel, right? I mean,
that's
like,
funny.
Yeah. Christopher Mintz Plasse. Is it Plasse or Plass?
I'll say Plass.
Yeah. I mean, I like him in Kick-Ass. He's one of those kids that's kind of annoying, but I don't mind him when he shows up usually.
Oh, man. Like, I think that was about the time where I'm like, damn, there's just a lot of people in this. And then, not just him, but, like, who was, I'm going to always forget his name, but the guy who played. He played the priest, the witch doctor in the village.
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, exactly. Bill Hader. I was like, is that Bill Hader?
Yeah.
Like, I saw that, and I'm like, there's just too many people in this movie. Like, well, not too many, like, but, like, in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, on top of the main cast, like, you've got Horatio Sanz in the movie. You've got Xander Berkeley, who I knew from 24.
Olivia Wilde.
Oh,
you have
God.
Olivia Wilde in this movie.
So
as
hot.
Princess
so
Inanna. Yes.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Kyle Gass makes an appearance because Jack Black's in a movie, so we got to get our Tenacious D buddy in there.
Always. Yeah. Yeah. He's the eunuch. You got Hank Azaria, Vinnie Jones,
Juggernaut.
Wilde.
You got a movie with Juggernaut.
Oh my God.
I mean, if we're going to talk bad X-Men moments.
Oh my God. Yeah. Who else? Yeah.
There's Paul Scheer's in the movie.
Oh, I didn't even realize it, but so Gene Stupnitsky and Lee Eisenberg both played guards and sentries in this movie. So they actually had a little small role. That's funny.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Like, it's just, you see all these names flash by you and you go, wow, this is going to be good.
It was, I mean, personally, it was not.
So with this movie, I sat there actually before I even hit play with the opening menu on loop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I sat there for a few minutes while I was working on some stuff, and the music had this really real Dark Knight quality, and I'm like, what am I about to watch? Do I not know what this movie is?
Somehow, like, it's like there's actually like a cinematic masterpiece that's been hidden beneath all of this, you know, begrudging bullshit.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering if the fact that the main characters' names are O and Z, and that spells Oz, and there's this whole dreamlike quality to this movie. I mean, you brought it up in your 60-second synopsis about the history of the world, part one, where it wants to be this, but it's not.
Absolutely.
I mean, it isn't one of the Monty Pythons. It's either Life of Brian or Meaning of Life. Isn't one of those also kind of an anthology type?
I wouldn't say it's Meaning of Life, but yeah, it's... Yeah, very much similar. And that was one thing, like, a lot of people when I was going through the reviews of this movie were saying the same thing. Like, this had to have been inspired by, you know, Mel Brooks. And it had that feeling, because literally going through, like, you're jumping from one biblical story to another, to another, to another. But none of them are really, like, anything other than out of the Bible.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, you know, definitely has that history of the world feel to it, but definitely not the quality nor the writing, you know, chops to back it up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And it should.
It really should.
It really, really should. I mean, Harold Ramis, man, it's your last movie. Did he die before he finished editing it?
That's a good question.
Oh, I did read that the cast could have been even more stacked, because they even had Stanley Tucci. Mm-hmm. They had Stanley Tucci cast as Noah, but because Evan Almighty came out the same year and had kind of a shitty performance, they're like, well, we're not going to use Noah anymore. And so they cut the role. I don't think he filmed anything. I think they just cut the role before he could film anything.
What was the movie 2014? That was the Noah film that came out. They tried to make like Russell Crowe and Noah, yeah, into like some kind of like action movie, like I don't know. That was the craziest thing.
What wasn't it? Even one of the big directors, like, or producers, like Jerry Bruckheimer or someone that was behind it, Michael Bay or some shit.
Somebody, let me pull that up, because I got to know that now. Oh, Darren Aronofsky.
Okay.
Yeah. But it had Anthony Hopkins, it had Russell Crowe, Jennifer Connelly, like big, once again, another biblical story that had a lot of names behind it that just really didn't make any fucking sense, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I know that I wasn't expecting the biblical story at first, so it took me a second to, you know, recalibrate my brain to be able to handle that once we got to the forbidden fruit and, okay, what's going on? I mean,
I think that had to have happened to a lot of people, because you're just sitting there and you're like, oh, okay, caveman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're in a tribe, they're in a village. Got it.
Yeah, and then it's biblical stories, yeah. And then it's like Romans.
Yeah.
Or, well, I guess I feel like the biblical story was dropped at the point when the Romans came in.
Pretty much, like that was the whole, like, but it the whole Roman things, like the Romans went to, and then it flashed to like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah,
you know, it was like, it was, I don't know, it just, it, you had like 1,000 years of history like shoved into like an hour and 27-minute movie, hour and 26 minutes, I think.
Jesus. Well, see, I mean, I had the option of watching the theatrical cut and the extended cut, and so. I mean, I know I texted you at that point where I said, extended cut, 4 extra minutes, baby. We're ready. Let's do this. If I'm going to go in, I'm going to go all in on it. I don't know what was extra.
I was going to say, it's like, I don't know which version I watched. I just had like a version that I found online.
Yeah. There was probably just more oily hair.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Like, I think that was the only thing that I'm talking, like, that really, there was a couple of moments where I actually did, like, laugh out loud, and they were pretty much all at Michael Cera.
Yeah.
And I'd say that was about it.
He has delivery. I mean,
like, he does, yeah.
That's the thing. If you watch, if you like Michael Cera, and if you like Jack Black, I mean, you'll like some of the stuff they do. And I legitimately did laugh. Like a few times. Like, I thought Bill Hader as the witch doctor was funny.
Yeah.
Like, when he's like, come on, man. Like, when he just turns it around. Like, I laughed a little bit.
There was a scene where it was when Jack Black and Michael Cera were talking about, like, laying with a woman in the village. And we see Michael Cera's love interest. I think her name's, like, Imani or something.
Ima, and
she's like rubbing like the one of the guy's like spears, and he goes, "Well, that's just suggestive." And then
she starts rubbing
two of it. And he goes, "Well, now she's just asking for splinters." And I'm just like, that, at that moment, I couldn't help but laugh. I'm like, "That's fucking funny."
Yeah. I mean, it's they're hidden gems. But there are some in there. Like, that's the thing. There's funny moments in a terrible movie is what we have going on here. Yeah, it's a bunch of Saturday Night Live sketches. You know how every once in a while with Saturday Night Live, one will make you laugh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was there's like some of the things that bothered me were just like plot holes in this movie that they never really explained. Like, for instance, right at the beginning of the movie, they encounter the tree with the forbidden fruit, and then all of a sudden Michael Cera is being like, you know, constricted by this boa snake, and then 2 seconds later the snake's gone.
Yeah.
And they're just walking away from the tree. Like, what happened to the snake? You know? Same thing with there's a cougar at one point that just disappears. But I think for like the rest of the movie, Michael Cera has like scratches all over his body. Yeah. It's just like weird shit that like consistency issues. And then at one point,
I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention in some places. Like, cause it's like, I remember the scratches and I remember the jaguar, but I never put the two together.
Yeah. I'm just like, what happened to these things? Like, some continuity, please.
Yeah.
You know? And then at one point we get Michael Cera getting Vinnie Jones giving Michael Cera like the longest titty twister. And it was really uncomfortable for me. and then there's also a moment where Jack Black is like suggestively eating this kebab while this woman in Gomorrah or in Sodom is suggestively eating a banana. And I swear to God, this scene lasted for like 2 minutes, where it's just Jack Black. The camera is going from Jack Black to this woman. And both of them are suggestively eating their foods. It's just like, how long is this moment going to last? That might have been the extra 4 minutes. I don't know how long your scene was.
That's where it was. And I mean, you know, we've got the Cain and Abel scene with the brothers arguing. And then they take Paul Rudd out immediately. But then the shtick is that he keeps popping up and he's still alive, but the bickering was funnier.
I was expecting at least some kind of biblical thing, like once he killed Cain or something to happen, like, because you had all these moments, you know. I know he got struck by lightning afterwards, you know.
That's true.
Or Cain did,
right, but in the forehead.
There were some moments where I'm just like, where's the biblical, like, what do they call that? The divine intervention in some of these scenes. And it's just like, this movie really towed the line between, you know, like God existing or God not existing. Cause like at one point in the movie, Michael Cera and Jack Black have a conversation about whether God exists or not.
Mm-hmm.
But literally in the beginning, they have a tree of knowledge, a forbidden tree of knowledge with glowing apples.
Yeah.
So like, you're going to tell me that God, like, I guess maybe that's a regular occurrence back then. I don't know.
Maybe that's a
tree species that died out, the glowing apple tree. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's golden delicious. They've just, you know, it's pesticides, right? Pesticides,
yeah,
these days, they just tone down the sheen of the golden delicious.
That's fair. That is fair.
I did audibly chuckle as well when, like, Jack Black, he had a line about he thought he had sand in his ass and, well, I'll check in Sodom. I mean, that was a...
I think that was funny. I did chuckle at that one a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's try to see if there's anything else.
I mean, there's the scene where Michael Cera gets stuck with the brother in the bed who farts all night. And,
God, yeah.
And Jack Black gets rejected by the lesbian.
I don't, like, that was one of those things where I'm like, that's like a weird thing to kind of like throw in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It was just like, again, awkward. You're right. It was like, it was a lot like an SNL, like an episode where there's just like some of the skits are awkward and some of them are funny. And
yeah, I mean, like some of the lines, like I laughed at the line about, which city has more whores?
Oh, yeah.
That was, you know, like that was, you know, I laughed at some of the foreskin stuff, unfortunately, as stupid as it was, but
yeah.
The obsession with chopping off foreskins, like, I don't know.
And that speaking of, like,
she's really making that banana last. That was the line that really pulled that one together, by the way. Yeah, you're back and forth, but the Michael Cera coming in and dropping, yeah. She's really
that's the thing. The majority of the laughable moments were from little dry humor moments from Michael Cera.
Yeah.
And then we're thinking, like, I'm thinking, like, towards the end when they're having the revolution in Sodom, you have the Adam and his crew of you know, Hebrews joining in and somehow popping up in the city.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Saving the day, wasn't it?
It gave me real, like, Robin Hood, you know, attacking the castle type, like, vibes on that one.
Well, see, I was thinking more along the lines of it. That's where the Mel Brooks vibe came in.
Yeah.
Because Mel Brooks, men in tights or Blazing Saddles, things like that, quite often, he's like, I don't know how to end this, so I'm just going to break the third wall. I mean, at least this one didn't go as far as breaking the fourth wall. Yeah, this one didn't go that far, but it's kind of the same sort of thing. That's sort of the filmmaker equivalent of saying, I give up, you guys decide what the ending is.
Yeah, true. Some guy at the writing table is like, how about we have the Hebrew tribe assist?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then there was no fire there. I guess there was no, I mean, maybe I guess you could consider the regime being taken down by fire with the high priest falling into the fire.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that was the an interpretation of that happening where, I don't know.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, now you're bringing up the high priest and the fire. It's just like, holy shit. You know, there were moments like when I was actually in the movie, watching it, taking notes, there were moments that I laughed and everything like that. But now that I'm trying to look at this as an overall picture, like, my notes don't make any sense. And you just brought up the whole sacrifice to try to get rain storyline. That's like, oh yeah, the fire.
Like, so I don't know why at some point, like, I had this weird feeling like that the priest was not actually, like, it was some, like, Scooby-Doo type BS where there was actually, like, a like soft hay at the bottom of that chute where the fire was.
Yeah.
And he was actually saving all the virgins for himself or something. And the reason that you couldn't go in that room was because there was all those virgins in there and it was his room or something.
Feels like a better joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, no, you just wrote a better ending to that.
But then, and then, like, at one point, like, again, you got Olivia Wilde in here, and she's, like, supposed to be caring about the people and being, like, all about, you know, like, saving lives and not having people starving. And yet she's willing to sacrifice Jack Black to make sure that this room is not, or make sure that if there's gods in there, she's going to sacrifice him to go talk to the gods and beg them for forgiveness or to let the famine end. I thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the crabs comment.
I do like, though, come quick, and Jack Black said, that won't be a problem.
That won't be a problem.
I mean, it was a good line, and it's like, well, that's true. I mean, look at Olivia Wilde. Damn.
Oh, yeah. She's always been a crush since Tron.
Yeah, that's damn with a lot of A's. Oh yeah, she looks good. Oh, I mean, in Tron, she's got the suit, I guess. So yeah, so that's also a nice look. Yeah, no, Olivia Wilde was looking pretty hot in this movie. Yeah, because yeah, you bring up the temple thing and like, but it's somehow O gets in there as well, so
Oh
they're back
yeah, that was
together. Like it's just, yeah, I don't understand. And then we have the upside down prisoner part though, where
Oh
they get
God.
captured and he has to pee. Yeah, so it's
I was
like,
cringing at that scene. I'm just like, "Oh God."
where's Mary Jane to kiss him?
Yeah, exactly. I got pee in my mouth. It's in your nose. I did like at that point Jack Black was like, "I'm peeing like in my own face, like on the inside."
See, yeah, if you like Jack Black, I mean, you should like, yeah, it's just some of his deliveries, right?
Yeah.
Like, Jack Black is a treat. Like when he showed up in Mandalorian,
Oh yeah.
I don't know Lizzo by face. I know her by name, but I don't know her by face. And so when I was watching that particular episode, I'm like, "Yay, Jack Black!" And I'm guessing this isn't an actor because she's not acting very well. Yeah. And then it's like, "Yay, Christopher Lloyd." But yeah, I mean, when Jack Black showed up in that, he was a delight. I'm like, "Hey, it's Jack Black's here. It's going to be a fun time." And that's usually how I feel. And in this, it's like he had a few fun Jack Black-isms, but
There's like Jack Black is one of those characters in my opinion, and truthfully, Michael Cera might just be like a step above or two steps above, but Michael Cera, but Jack Black for me is a guy that's like good in short supply.
yep,
You
that
know,
yeah, I
he's
agree.
funny on the internet. He's funny in some of his movies. Like, and I'll give you another example of one that he kind of like stepped into for too long was Tropic Thunder. You know, he was just in that one for just a little. Like he had some funny moments.
Yeah.
But overall, it's just it gets to the point where it's just like you're not really like you're doing the same thing, same shtick,
Yeah.
and we get it, but it's like you're not really adding anything to it.
Yeah, she's like a he's like a Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah,
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
Great supporting, not necessarily a great starring role.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting all the roles that should have been Chris Farley's is kind of what's going on.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
The same yelly personality. Like that's big over the top.
Yeah, Tenacious D could have been Chris Farley and Kyle Gass,
Yeah, that's true.
or what's his friend's name,
What,
Black
David
Sheep,
Spade?
David Spade. Yeah,
That would be a very interesting Tenacious D. But then I guess in that universe, the Kyle Gass Jack Black one could still exist as well. It just wouldn't be as big. I've seen Tenacious D in concert. They
Oh yeah,
put on quite a show. Yeah.
I bet that sounds awesome.
Yeah. They have a lot of video stuff that they did with their stage. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it was kind of cool. And again, I guess kind of like you, just avoiding talking about the movie at this point. I think I've kind of reached that point where it's like, I mean, I could go through and nitpick the movie. I mean, geez, we're on track for this to be the shortest episode ever.
I mean, we got some more stuff to talk about. Like, you know, we could do sponsorship corner, and then we got the reviews, which will, the reviews will be good, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's see.
I just like, I guess for me, this movie doesn't have, there's just not too much to it because it was such a simple and like, I want to call it like a linear adventure, but at the same time, it's such the plot jumps around so much to these like you said, almost skittish moments.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like there's it doesn't really it, there's no levels to it.
Strangely, it actually felt weird when you brought other characters into it. Like that's almost one of the things that I thought in this movie is the fact that Kane became a character that kept coming back was one of these things where it's just like, okay, I understand this is Jack Black and Michael Cera's story, And for the women to come back and for it to become a rescue story, okay. But on the other hand, when you bring more characters along for the ride, it feels yeah.
It's over inundated with again.
It's hard to articulate my thoughts. That's part of the problem. I mean, you know, you've got the love story that doesn't really make sense to me very much because they just show up. I mean, I will note that out of that big long list that we went through, except for like Horatio Sands, I don't think we mentioned any people of color whatsoever. Now, I mean, I understand there's a slavery through line in here. Everyone's getting sold into slavery, so maybe it would have been a bad look. And it's funnier if we've got all these white people being sold into slavery. But, yeah, I mean, I also just, yeah, I couldn't notice. I did happen to notice how whitewashed the cast was, that's for sure.
I do. I only see one black. I mean, I see, obviously, like, yeah, you're right, like Horatio Sands. Let's see, there's a guy, Keith Davis, who I can't really tell. He's pretty. He might be mixed because he looks pretty ethnically ambiguous, like me. We could be related. But yeah, there's very few people of color in this cast.
or were they the smart ones?
They were.
They all passed.
Yeah. Well, one guy's a dancer, so maybe. I don't know. For me, it was just like, this is one of those ones where they knew the movie was going to be bad, and they just threw like a bunch of like heavy hitters at it. And I'm actually really like, when I was watching this, I was really surprised. And I actually have, like, in my notes again, it says Olivia Wilde, what the fuck? The cast in this movie is insane.
Yeah.
And I say that it's insane because I don't know how you get some of these celebrities to sign on for a role. Like,
why are they all together?
Yeah. What script, which version of the script did they read of this movie to be like, okay, I want to do this? And it's like, it's
so uncomfortable. Who has blackmail on them? Like, does Harold Ramis have something on all these people? It's like movie 43, right? Like, movie 43 is another one where it's like, holy shit, look at all these people in it. And then you go, oh, okay, that just happened. You know, and... yes, same sort of thing. When you load up a cast, you either end up with something like Ocean's 11 or you end up with Year One.
Pretty much. And again, to hit off of what you said earlier about having David Cross's Kane like continuously coming back, it was just, and okay, that did throw me off very much because it was like, how are you going to make like Kane of Cain and Abel like a without redeeming him, of course, but like having him be a continuous figure in the movie. But then again, like, and then they brought back, like you said, they brought back the women who are now slaves in, you know, in Sodoma. And
didn't Isaac keep coming back too? Christopher Mintz-Plasse,
he did, like, yeah I want to say he did pop up, but like, for me, like, that was the other thing with like the relationships. So, I have known that I have known of people in Hollywood who have actually been like, quote unquote, canceled, because of their failure to get the hint when it comes to like going like chasing down like a possible love interest.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and I felt like, to me, that's what it kind of felt weird was at the end and towards the end of this movie, where they do end up getting with the women from their village.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they must have just like worn them down to the point, because throughout the movie they're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then at the end it's like, yep, I like you.
Yeah,
thank you for rescuing me. I am now yours. Like, it was just kind of odd for me.
Yeah, well, because Michael Cera impressed her by being a statue.
Yes, yeah. Golden boy.
That for me was actually one of the funnier scenes.
Yeah, his oil rubbing skills impressed her. Yeah,
yeah, that true, that too. But I, oh, gross, oh, popped up again. You put it back in my mind. Just the image of that. But yeah, I mean, it just, that was As I go through my notes, I look at the fact that it's like, oh, I laughed at this part. Oh, Aaron's going to hate me. I like this movie. I'm laughing at this. And then now that I'm talking about it, it's like, no, I don't like this movie. I laughed at it, but I didn't like it. Like, it ultimately made no sense, but it was, and it's, we've said it before, but it's usually someone like Michael Cera that gets the best line or moment. And yeah. Golden Boy was one of those moments for me where, no, I have to stand still. Like, I just, sometimes I like his understated comedy.
Yeah. But now, again, and another situation where I was like, yeah, I laugh because he does, he's like, I'm just gonna hold a pose here. And then he awkwardly, like, you know, puts his hand out. And I was like, that's funny. And then 2 seconds later, the scene is him, like, walking through, like, the scene after saying that he needed to stay there and be a statue.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's so many inconsistencies in this film.
Yeah. I mean, it is... I am known for tearing movies apart for their inconsistencies and plot holes, but once I was along for this ride, for me, it was kind of like, okay, nothing's going to make sense. And so I can understand why you're so furious with all these plot holes and everything. But on the other hand, it's just like, there was just, it was a whole, the whole thing was a plot hole. They just all canceled each other out. And it's like, okay, no, you just gotta ride this surf and see what happens and hope that you don't hit the rocks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where that metaphor went. That metaphor made about as much sense as this fucking movie.
I'm like looking at the goofs.
See, I brought
right
it back
now.
Home.
Yeah.
Looking at who? What?
At the goofs, the year one goofs
on
you know,
IMDb.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. It occurred in my brain that the continuity of this movie was just absolute garbage. And that seems, it's got more goofs on its continuity than it does have on trivia.
Nice.
Just yeah. So, like, you know, for instance, when O is first appears with gold paint, he has no eyeliner. Then midway through, he has eyeliner.
Oh, okay.
They talk about during the stoning scene, the kid that throws the stones has like one guy standing behind him as like his father, and then later on, there's like a different guy. Just weird shit like that. In the scene where Zed tries to shoot Abel's cow, he is thrown off and lands on its back. A second later, he's attempting to get up from a face down position, which I was actually looking at that cow had like a lead on him, and it could, like, to me, it felt like it was there to like keep him in the spot for the scene. So I was just like, oh, I see that.
Yeah. Didn't paint that one out. I don't know. Give me more Bill Hader. That's what I needed in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would have been great. Like, if he would have popped up more. Like, if he would have popped up later on and been, like, you know, there instead of Kane or some of the other guys. Like, put some of the other guys from the village in as, like, guards. And because, obviously, Kane could just become a guard. Mm-hmm. You know, the other, like, weren't the soldiers slaves at one point? But, I don't know. They just made a lot of weird choices with who they use in these scenes.
Well, and there was definitely a lot of power shifting, too, that also made no sense. It's like, oh, it's kind of like Loki in Ragnarok. You know, he's schmoozing with this guy. Then it's like, uh-oh, now we find out you're connected to this guy. And, you know, like, it just, now you're in prison and you're hanging upside down and peeing in your own face.
Yeah,
what a weird movie.
I'm glad I could bring you to my side of the fence.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I, like, sadly, I probably would not have walked out on it, but yeah, I would have.
Good for you. You're better than me.
No, I'm cheap. Unless you went up and demanded a refund.
Oh, I got my refund back. Okay. I got my money back. I refuse. If I walk out of a movie, I'm getting my money back. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never walked out of a movie. Fallen asleep in a couple, but never walked out of one.
I did that with Renfield.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually heard that on your episode. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it was Last Man Standing, which is a Bruce Willis
film,
yeah. Yeah. And, what else was it? Two Towers. It was a midnight showing, and I had been up since like 4 in the morning. Two Towers and Empire. I fell asleep during Empire. One of the re-releases.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. I've got nothing else. I mean, you know, like, we end up with the big brawl in the courtyard at the end, and Owen and Emma go off and bang Ima, or whatever her name is. So she's not a virgin anymore. So then the priest dies, and they get 10 seconds of rain. That was a funny moment, too, for me, was, like, the little burst of rain that they get, and they're all, yeah, and then it goes off. And then we end with, like, a big Jack Black rousing speech to the troops.
You know, he learned a lesson in that moment. That was the moment that he learned a lesson, that he didn't need to be the special guy.
Yeah, that was this movie's I'm Spartacus moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, no, you're the chosen one.
Everybody's chosen.
He's Oprah. It's look under your seats. You're the chosen one, and you're the chosen one. And so, I mean, they split up at the end. So, like, they hung out all together for the entire movie. And then at the end, just wants to go back to the fucking village. And Jack Black goes out questing. Oh, man, too bad we didn't get year two. I mean.
You know, oh, my God. I'm going to Google that right now. If there was ever an idea for a year two, I would.
Someone buried that information deep. I mean, even that gives you the sense, like a false sense of security going into this, because you're like, okay, you're one. All right. That's a kick-ass Batman series. I'm okay with something called Year One. Oh my God. Jack Black, Michael Cera. Look at this cast. Holy shit. Harold Ramis. No, he wouldn't let me down. And then Year One.
There is a change.org petition for a Year One sequel.
Ouch.
That's the only thing. And it only has 113 signatures.
Do you want to make it 115?
I do not. I do not. Never. How dare you for asking me that.
Yeah. But, you know, at least we get bloopers in the ending.
Yeah, those were kind of funny.
Because then it's like, okay, here's your reward. That was your dessert for having to sit through that meal. Oh, and I never got around to it, but I guess that means it's time for Sponsorship Corner. I mean, I've got nothing. Like, always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Year One is brought to you by, I don't know, Forbidden Apples and...
and Sticks in the Mud.
And Foreskins.
Oh, yeah. Golden Apples and Foreskins.
Golden Apples and Foreskins. That sounds like a punk band from the 70s or something. Golden Apples and Foreskins.
Oh, my God. The Foreskins.
And this has been Sponsorship Corner. Yeah, I mean, I stick with it because I do like to have one in every episode, whether there's a sponsor or not. But yeah, it's like they didn't go for that kind of low-hanging fruit, pun intended, in this movie. Yeah,
ba-dunch.
Yeah. Well, that's I've got a rim shot that I throw in if I have an especially good dad joke. But yeah, no, it's they didn't go for that joke like something like Blazing Saddles would have, where all of a sudden you're in modern day. So I guess I got to give it to credit. Like they committed to the bit at least.
I mean, did they?
Well, they kept changing their mind on what the bit was. So
yeah, true.
Well, there we go.
Did Jack Black ever get any smarter? That's what I want to know.
Nope. There we go. That's Year One. Oh, boy. So, Aaron, some of these numbers might surprise you. On IMDb, it scored 4.9 out of 10. Ooh, damn near 50 on that one. It has a Metascore of 34. Like, even the critics not, like, tearing it apart, I guess. On Rotten Tomatoes, a 14% on the tomato meter. Those critics like it less. And an audience rating of 23%. But, Aaron, those are just numbers. like clubbing your potential mate over the head, but not succeeding on the first try. Hit us with some reviews.
Right. Oh, man. Some of my favorites are really on Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm just going to read a couple of them right now. One of my the first ones that pops up is, what's even more depressing than the never-ending stream of sub-sixth grade toilet humor is the sad fact that Year One is helmed and co-produced by two of the best laughmeisters in the business. That was by a Mark Sarlov, who's the top critic on Rotten Tomatoes. That right there was like a perfect, I wanted to read that one specifically. It was a perfect wrap-up, like Gordita of truth, you know?
Gordita of truth.
So wow. Good.
He's handing us through the drive-thru window,
yeah,
a Gordita of truth. Little fire sauce with that.
Another one is, Year One tried to get me to laugh a countless number of times and failed every single one of them. There are no new jokes. They are recycled gags that weren't funny the first time, let alone the thousandth. This film is a complete waste of good cast and crew, which is absolutely true.
It is,
and
yeah.
It's absolutely depressing on how unfunny it is.
Yeah. Oh, man. Boy.
So that's one. I'm going to read one more, and this is one thing that I really liked from... somebody did a rest in peace to Harold Ramis on it.
Oh no, I hope so, there's no sarcasm involved in the review.
It just says, they gave it a 6 out of 10. It said, just right here, I'll be right back to cut your penises. That's the review.
Nice.
I mean, it does say Harold Ramis' final film before he passed away in 2014. May his soul rest in peace. His works will continue to inspire and make people happy, which is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny as shit that they had decided to put that one. And the rest of these, like, there's so many, like, 8 out of 10s and 10 out of 10s. There's a couple of 1 out of 10s that say, like, it's painfully awful. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
This movie
okay. Yeah,
hurt.
Well, no, let's see. We just talked, like, at tops, 2 out of 10 review just now.
Yeah.
Like, we admitted to a couple of chuckles, you know? 1 out of 10 would have been 0 chuckles. But,
exactly.
You know, I had a legitimate couple of laugh-out-loud moments where, you know, not even me pretending or not even the inward snort. So I want to hear a 10 out of 10 review.
Okay, I'll give you a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I want to hear the complete rebuttal to what we have to say. I want rainbows and unicorns and sunshine up the ass with this one. Or, you know, I just
sounds like a good Friday night.
10 out of 10. Yeah, it does.
Oh man, I just, for some reason now, as soon as you ask that, all I'm seeing is ones and twos. Shit, there's a 3. God damn it. Give me a 10 out of 10, people. Okay, how about a 9 out of 10?
9 out of 10. Okay, let's do 9 out of 10.
All right, here's a bloody brilliant. This is by Zaldal, 30 June 2009. So this is a fairly recent watch. I love this film. Why doesn't anybody on this site like it? All of my friends loved it. After leaving the cinema, I said, I love this movie. When I am on my deathbed, I will be saying, I love this film. What do people expect? What do people expect? Michael Cera is gorgeous. He is cute and sweet, yet everybody complains he plays the same character. Duh.
Well,
that's
yeah.
Why he is cast.
Yeah.
Jeez, we all know he has no Zac Efron. He
yeah.
Can't play the cool kid in school. His voice is too high. Seriously, it would be unbelievable. And instead of he is the same character comments, everyone would say, doesn't suit his role. He is
stay
cute
in your
and dorky.
Lane.
Yeah, he is cute and dorky in betweener that we have all come to love. Why do you expect any different? Jack Black was hilarious, and I thought his character was great. He was sexist and funny. I don't know if that's what they meant to say. His
or
character
at least
was
how
kind
they
of,
meant to say it.
Yeah, his character was kind of shallow Hal-like, but Neanderthal, which was great. Okay. This movie was hilarious. I found myself laughing so loudly in the cinema. I will definitely buy it when it comes out on DVD. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm done with
this,
that guy.
This person... and to prove...
Zaldog or whatever it was.
Zaldal, yeah. To prove this person is an idiot, just I hope that Zaldal... I know that you're listening right now, and I hope one of your friends like tells you and says, hey, listen to this show. Go back and watch Shallow Hal again today.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right? And think about what you said. Think about what you've done. All right. Think about what you said, because I want you to reflect. I want you to reflect on the things that you're saying about why Shallow Hal is good and why Jack Black was hilarious in this film, because you have some soul searching to do. That's it. End of rant.
Yeah, if you had compared it to School of Rock, I might have been on your side. But
exactly. School of Rock on your side. Shallow Hal did not age well.
No, not really. No, not so much. Not so much. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. No, that person's just off their meds. I mean, there's something wrong with that person. They have some sort of childhood trauma that I can't possibly begin to understand, because, yeah, I don't see what they're seeing. I mean, as for the Michael Cera of it all, he's likable, whatever, and that's who he is, and that's obviously the movie that they wanted.
Yeah,
they wanted the gregarious guy and the little nerd. Whatever. Yeah. Yes.
For me, it will. There's only one movie I've ever really found him to be as a lead in it. I've only ever found him to be hilarious, and that was Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Right.
I will forever believe that any movie that can make Michael Cera seem like a badass is an amazing film. As a side character, if you've ever seen This Is the End,
yes,
he was great in that.
Yes. So This Is the End is another one of those movies where they stacked it, and it's
yeah, but that paid off.
Yeah, it was okay.
What?
I wasn't a huge fan of that one.
Agreed.
I don't know. Yeah. It's if I were to put it up against this one, I mean, yeah, well, geez, it's fucking Citizen Kane. I mean, don't get me wrong, I did enjoy it. I laughed at it. I like all the celebrities like dying as themselves.
Why it was so good.
Yeah.
That's why the only thing that I mean
it was
there
fun.
Was, if we reviewed it, there, I could give you all the things that I thought was negative, but
yeah.
Overall, you're right. Like this is it was definitely much better than this movie.
And much better than this movie. There we go. Okay, so that's reviews, I guess. Yeah, it's a bunch of wasted talent. It really is. Yeah, I was hoping. I mean, that's the thing. After Napoleon Dynamite. I mean, you came into this movie wanting to hate it because you're like, ugh, this is my nightmare. This is, you know.
But that's the thing. That's the thing, though. I, as soon as it came on and I chuckled like that really within like the first couple minutes.
You're like, okay.
You know, I was like, okay. I was like, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe I was wrong. Like, and I continue to watch it, and I just like, it just slowly turned into this melting pile of just horribleness.
Yeah,
like it this movie didn't evolve, it de-evolved into shit.
Right out of the Sodom.
Yep.
It's yeah, it's yeah, it's a waste of talent. I already got there. I don't know what to say about this movie. I hate that I laugh so much in it, but I did get some genuine laughs out of this movie. But I guess I was coming into it optimistic, because after doing Napoleon Dynamite, I'm like, okay, Napoleon Dynamite, not so bad. I can understand Napoleon Dynamite. No, greatest comedy in the world ever? No. But I can understand that. I wanted to come. I came into this wanting to like it so much. I'm like, I want to love this so much, and I want Aaron to still hate it, and I want to like point out why he's wrong just for fun. But no, it's not a good movie. Not a good movie.
So in Napoleon Dynamite, you started off low, with low expectations, hating it, and actually ended up liking it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And for this one, Where did you like it, like, somewhat, and then, like, now you like it less?
I don't remember it well enough to know whether I liked it, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. If this, I'm basically counting this as a first watch, a first official watch, because If I saw it before, I do not remember. So, yeah, it's... I came into it hoping to like it, and... Because you look at the cast list!
Get over the cast, Sean. Get over the cast.
On paper, this movie is amazing!
Oh, man, I would love to read, like, just the script, you know? And see where like there was like an original script, not like a post production.
Yeah,
I'd like
to see
the pre-production script.
there's got to be some other stuff that's different. Like you said, there tiger scratches or whatever. So
yeah,
that's never explained. Yeah, no, dumb movie. I still hate this one.
As do I.
I used to hate this one. I still hate this one. I don't know if I used to hate this one. No. Dumb movie. Year one gets a year zero from me. Fuck that. No.
Same.
And I've watched some bad movies on this show, but it's like, I laughed a few times.
Exactly. And that's all you'll ever have from it. And that's all I'll ever need from it. I never need to watch this. Like, I finally watched this movie all the way through. I can be done with it. I can never think about it again.
Yeah.
Fuck this movie.
And you can now definitively say that you hate this movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for that, Sean.
Well, you know, thanks for bringing your nightmare forward.
All for you, Damien. It's all for you.
There we go. That's year one, and that's our show for this week. If you like that show, one thing you could do to really help us out, well, you know, just tell friends and like and subscribe and do all those things and downloads and all that sort of stuff. You know, word of mouth is important. You tell a friend and then they tell a friend and then they tell a friend and all of a sudden everybody's telling us people about every, you know, whatever. Tell people. Or go over to whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us some stars. 5 of them would be great. We like 5 stars. Yeah, 5 stars, little review, just something to just nudge us up the charts to help us get noticed.
5 stars more than year one gets.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, that's 6 stars more than year one gets. Or if you want to be a producer of the show and you want to, you know, throw us a couple bucks, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. Become part of our Patreon family and you even get a shout out because you're an executive producer just like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
Thanks, Josh. If you'd like to contact or donate to the show, you can email us at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. You can follow us on social media at IUsedToLikeThisOne on Instagram, or there's a whole bunch of numbers and letters after this one. I used to like this one with numbers instead of words because of the character limit on Twitter.
I picked the wrong name for Twitter is the problem.
You could probably change it, right?
Well, I might be able to change it, but I don't know what would be better. See, I used to like this one is too long for Twitter. So it would be I used to like this one. Or something, you know. Like,
Yeah. We'll brainstorm. We'll come up with something. So on social media, you'll get the heads up on what our next movie is, and you can watch it ahead of time. Basically know what the movie we're going to trash or the movie that we're going to love.
Yeah. I used to like this one. I fucked this up last week, so I'm going to get this right today. I used to like this one. Is created by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It's hosted and produced by Sean Wells and Aaron Knowles, and it is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter in the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. And if you want to hear more from me and my stories of being a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Aaron, if people want to find you doing your thing, where can they find you?
You can find us at Oblivion Bar Pod on all the social medias, OblivionBarPod.com, or if you want to look up what I do on my free time, which is pretty much taken up by social media and my nonprofit, which is Shred the Stress, which we help service members, veterans, basically the entire military community, get rid of stress and have a better outlook on life and, you know, just using fun stuff like electric scooters and go-karts and all that jazz. So check me out there.
Right on. And, I mean, it was in the script. You read the script anyway. I mean, you and I... We have a different vibe going, so we like to talk about what we got next week. So next week, we got Another one from my pit of despair. Yeah, we got Dr. Strangelove, or, colon, How I Learned to...
Love the Bomb.
No, there's more to it than that. Yeah, I have to look it up now, this fucking movie. Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. This is one of those movies. It's well documented on this show that I hate Stanley Kubrick movies. We did The Shining. I hated every minute of it. I had new appreciations for it, so blah, 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 blah. Maybe now my age, Dr. Strangelove will have grown on me, but fuck this movie. I hated this movie.
Yeah. I've actually never seen this movie.
Okay. Well, so then we're in for a treat, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just.
I've heard a lot of rumblings about it, so I'm pretty excited to check it out.
It's supposed to be funny. I don't remember it being funny. I remember, I don't know, Peter Sellers plays like three people, I think. I liked him in Pink Panther growing up, but maybe those movies haven't aged well either. I'm pretty sure those movies probably haven't aged well either. Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Black. 1964, huh? Interesting.
1964, yeah. Black and white, too. So
I'm excited.
Get ready for some artsy.
I'll put my art appreciation hat on.
Well, thank you for listening, and join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One. Nice.
It's like a Jackass movie. You could laugh all the way through it, but at the end of the day, you're going to be like, that was fucking stupid. Like, I saw way too many dicks.